Hi, and welcome to the Remove the Guesswork podcast. I'm your host, Leanne Spencer, and it's a solo show this week, but we've got a good one for you. We're going to talk about fitness, how to overcome the challenges of time, lack of knowledge, and motivation and purpose. So before we get into that, I want to read you our review of the week, and this is by Towin, left on iTunes. At Last, Something Different is the title. This is a fascinating and really valuable podcast. There are so many personal trainers and fitness professionals out there, all saying similar things or preaching their own particular approach. This podcast is different. It puts the individual at the heart of their own fitness and well-being and provides information to help them develop an approach that is right for them. Highly recommended. Towin, thank you very, very much for that review and for anybody else who submitted a review. We don't always read them all out, but we really, really appreciate them. So keep them coming. And we're running a competition that a lucky winner will win a copy of the Body Shop Performance Light product, which is a DNA test, tells you exactly the right type of diet for you based on your genes and the type of exercise that you respond best to. It's worth £399, but we'll be giving it away completely free to the lucky winner that we pull out at random on Wednesday, 6th of September. All you need to do to enter and to get your DNA test is write a rating and review on iTunes, and then submit that to us by email at info@bodyshopperformance.com. We'll pick that up and we'll enter you into the random draw, as I say, we'll pull out on Wednesday 6th of September. So good luck if you're entering. If you've written a review, great, thank you very much. And if you're thinking of doing it, please jump on iTunes and do that for us. We really appreciate it. So to this week's show, fitness is the main theme of this week's show. And what I really want to talk about is how you can develop better areas of fitness, stay motivated, overcome some of the typical challenges that we see. So that's what we're going to talk about. But what do I mean when I say fitness? Well, really, we can break it down into four areas: spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical fitness. All four of those, I believe, are really important, and that's a big part of our philosophy. The textbook definition of fitness is a little different. That's broken down into five areas, which are muscular strength, muscular endurance, cardiovascular endurance, flexibility, and body composition. The latter is really how your body's composed of, whether it's fat, muscles, bones, water. What people are really interested in is how much fat they've got in their body or how much muscle they have in their body. So that's the textbook definition of fitness, but we look at it in a much more holistic way. So spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical fitness. Some of the challenges that I think people have around fitness could probably be distilled into three areas. Time. I don't have time for fitness. I don't have an hour, therefore it's not worth me going to the gym. By the time I get there, there won't be worth me doing a workout. You really need a lot of time to work out effectively. That's simply not true, and we'll come to talk about how you can exercise really effectively in just maybe 15 or 20 minutes. The second challenge that I see a lot is a lack of knowledge. I don't know what to do. If I go to the park, I'm not sure what to do except run. My gym at home, I've got some weights, but I don't really know what I'm doing with them. Or when I go to the bigger gyms, people are on the machines that I want to get onto. I don't know how to use the other machines, or I don't know how to use any of the equipment at all. And let's face it, a gym can be quite a hard-charging, high-testosterone-fueled, sweaty, busy, loud environment, and it can put a lot of people off. So what are your options around exercising outside of a gym? Do you need a gym to exercise effectively? Well, address all of those questions. And the third challenge is motivation and purpose. I think a lot of people run out of steam quite quickly, partly because perhaps they lack knowledge and they think they don't have time. But lacking that motivation and purpose is a big driver. It's a big reason why people fail in their fitness endeavours and they don't get that sustainability that they're looking for. So we're going to address all three of those things. So let's start with time. You don't need a lot of time to work out, is the up and down of it. There are a number of things that you can do in a really short space of time that are highly effective. And I'm going to talk through some of those now. The first one is an exercise called Tabata, T-A-B-A-T-A. And this was developed some time ago. And it's basically a concept that's all around 4 minutes. You have 4 minutes in which to perform an exercise repetitively with quite a minimal amount of break. So here's how it works. First 20 seconds, you do the exercise. Let's say it's burpees. You do 20 seconds of burpees fast as you can, but with controlled form. So you're not depressing the lower back, but your glutes are engaged. You've got good form for the burpee. 20 seconds of furious exercise, 10 seconds rest, back on 20 seconds of exercise again, 10 seconds rest. And you cycle through that 8 times, and that is a Tabata sequence. By the end of that, you'll be out of breath, you won't want to carry on. And whilst you have those 10 second break points, they just never feel like enough. After a while, it feels like less and less, even though of course it is the same 10 seconds. So that is a highly effective way to exercise. So that's number one, Tabata. Linked with that is HIIT, H-I-I-T, high intensity interval training. So this could be, for example, a little bit like a Tabata sequence, but you're going all at something for a minute perhaps and taking 30 seconds rest, back on for a minute, 30 seconds rest. But it, as the name suggests, it's high intensity. So you're not going to be able to sustain this for very long, but you are doing it at your maximum or near to your maximum effort. So there's Tabata and HIIT. There's also intervals. This works really well for running, for example. So what I'll do is mix up my running. I'm training for a big event at the moment, and I won't just do a short run, a medium run, and a long run. In fact, I'm not actually doing a lot of long running at all. And I'll talk about that strategy perhaps later on in another podcast. But when I do go out for a run, particularly a shorter one, by short I mean 5 to 10K, I'll end it with some interval sprints. Or I maybe do a mile warm up and then do some interval sprints and finish the rest of the run. And the interval sprints are quite simply, you set your sights on maybe the end of a pathway or a street light, something that is, if you like, ideally 100 meters away. Perhaps it's 100 yards, perhaps it's 50 meters. You need to kind of decide how far can you run at maximum pace. And then you run as quick as you can to that point, and then you walk back. I repeat that 10 times. And by the end of that, you've had a furious workout. And it's done a number of things. One, it's really increased your heart rate more than it would if you were running at your normal running pace. It also helps to practice generating lactic acid, but more importantly, processing it back out. So as you sprint, the legs will start to feel heavy, and you'll get that burn by the end of the sprint section if you're going far and fast enough. And that burn is essentially lactic acid. It's a byproduct of the energy system that you're using to generate that much speed. As you walk back, you're letting that lactic acid get out of the muscles. That's one of the things you're training for. That will help you on endurance. So even if you're an endurance runner and you don't run speed, you're not a sprinter, doing intervals will still be beneficial for you. And the third benefit of that is you get what's called an excess post-exercise oxygen consumption increase. So just to break that down, it's called EPOC. Basically, all it means is after you've done those intervals, you're burning more oxygen than you would have been if you'd run at your normal pace. So you get that added calorie burn benefit as a result of doing that interval training. Now, that interval training takes just minutes. It probably takes between 5 and 10 minutes to run those 10 interval sprints. So it's a really great way. Perhaps you take that out of your run. So if your run was normally 5K, make it 4K, and the last K is interval sprints. Alternatively, if you're just really pushed on time and you can't get your normal 10K or 5 miles or 3 miles done, maybe you just do a mile to warm up, you do some interval sprints, you do a mile to cool down, and that you'll get tremendous bang for buck from that. So time really doesn't need to be an issue. Now, we've talked a bit about running there and kind of cardiovascular high intensity exercise, but if you're looking at strength, so you're actually lifting weight, whether it's light weights for high reps or heavy weights for low reps, again, that doesn't have to be a long session. You can get in the gym or onto a squat rack or with a barbell or some dumbbells or just body weight, and you could do a decent strength session in 15 to 20 minutes. So if you're looking to build muscle, you get something heavy and you lift it for maybe 4 sets of 6 repetitions. If you're looking for muscular endurance, you maybe lift 3 sets of 10 or 15 reps. And you could do that with squats. Bodyweight squats can be effective. You can just get a 20 kilo barbell for the back of the shoulders. Or if you're in a gym, then you can stack some weight on depending on your goals and your strength and your fitness. And that doesn't take a long time. I mean, to generate DOMS, which is the muscle soreness you get after exercise, if that's your goal, if you want to build muscle fibers and generate more muscle, you really don't need to spend very long lifting a weight. You don't have to have very much time under tension, as it were, to get the benefit. So bottom line is, time really shouldn't be an issue when it comes to fitness. So if you are of the mindset that you simply don't have time for it, start thinking about where you could carve out 15, 20 minutes. And then think about what to do in that. Maybe you have a cardiovascular session for 20 minutes best built around some Tabata exercises, or whether or not you have a strength session, but it just doesn't need to be a long time. So the other challenge, the second challenge, was lack of knowledge. I'm often asked, what is the best type of exercise to do? And of course, the immediate question is, for what? The best type of exercise, if I'm going to be glib, is the type that you enjoy, because you've got a high likelihood then of carrying it on and of sustaining that. But really, the answer to that question just depends on your goals. First and foremost, what are you trying to achieve? Are you trying to lose fat? Are you trying to build muscle? Are you trying to get fit for an event? Are you trying to get fit for the mental health benefits it brings you? Or for the whole holistic benefits, because you want to sleep more and be more responsible for your health. So what is it that you're trying to achieve? What equipment have you got available to you? Do you have a local gym? Are you interested in going to the local gym? What time do you have available to you? Is it 15, 20 minutes, three times a week? Is it 3 hours a week? Is it more? So it really depends on a lot of those things. And of course, on your existing level of fitness and whether or not you have any injuries. So the best type of exercise if you're injured is a rehabilitation exercise, but also something that helps strengthen and tone and maintain the muscle and the fitness you've got in the rest of the unaffected body. So that's really the essence of it. What do you enjoy? What are your goals? What equipment do you have to hand? How much time do you have? And what's your current state of fitness and your injury status? And once you've established all of that, keep it simple. Keep it really simple. The basics for me, and where I advise anyone on this, the basics are threefold. Number one, have a constant low-level daily life movement. So daily life movement is simply the way that we move or should be moving throughout the day. So I've mentioned on previous episodes about ancestral movement and ancestral living. And ancestral movement really is if the cavemen and women woke up in the morning as the sunlight flooded the entrance to the cave, and they would have been up and out. Possibly they'd have gone straight into some super high intensity exercise because there's something that needs chasing. Breakfast is on the horizon. Alternatively, there's a threat around the corner and suddenly they're all right at it into their sympathetic dominance and they're going out to defend against this threat. Later on in the day, however, that threat's gone. Some food's been got. They've come back. They're eating, washing, foraging, scurrying. Constant movement. And we've forgotten about that. A lot of us now, well, we maybe do a gym session in the morning and then spend the rest of the day sitting, which isn't a great deal better than doing nothing at all. But our exercise is generally spikier. So walk, sit for a long time, walk, sit for a long time, gym, sit for a long time. That daily life movement needs to be relatively constant. Not so much that you're never sitting down, you're never resting, but just getting up every 60 minutes if you're in a desk-based job. That might be to get to the printer. Maybe you have a small glass of water on your desk so that you don't, you need to keep filling it up. You need to get up and fill it up. There's lots of little cheats, but really you want this constant low-level daily life movement. The next thing is just to have some brisk, moderate exercise twice a day. So that could be a walk, for example. Brisk walk, 20, 30 minutes is great. And then you have your constant level daily life movement and then a brisk walk at the end of the day. But something moderate intensity twice a day. And then twice a week, you have a high intensity exercise session and twice a week, a heavy session where you lift something. And that will replicate our ancestral living, which is what our bodies were designed to do, but will also make sure that you have pretty good fitness and pretty good health. Now, of course, you need to take all of that and then work that back for you. Are you able to do two high intensity sessions a week? Are you confident lifting heavy? If you're not, then get some guidance. Get a personal trainer or an online coach, but get somebody to help you with that. Or buddy up with someone who's already familiar with the gym or lifting heavy or doing cardiovascular exercise. And in fact, as we'll come on to later on in the podcast, that can be a really crucial part of it. So that's your basics. The other thing to then consider is what kind of exercise do you like? How do you like to do your exercise? There's kind of four ways, I suppose, broadly speaking. Do you like to do things on your own? And do you like to do them in the company of others? Do you like to exercise at home? Have you got a rough setup where you can do that? And by the way, you don't need very much at all. In fact, you can do a lot of bodyweight exercise at home with just a floor space. Are you someone that likes exercising outdoors in nature? In which case, can you find a local park, which often have gyms in now, or some outdoor space, or your garden, so that you can exercise outdoors? That is my preferred way to do it. I love getting the benefits of it being out in the sun, getting that beautiful natural light, which is great for my circadian rhythm. Vitamin D3, of course, when the sun's peeking through the clouds. So that's my preferred way. Social, you know, do you like to exercise with other people, in which case maybe a class is great for you, or do you like that buzz of the gym? So just figuring out what kind of exercise environment you really enjoy being in is also huge. That will help cover some of the motivation issues, which we're going to talk about in the next section. If you do enjoy exercising at home, there's loads you can do. We talked a bit about body weight just now, but you could buy some basic equipment like a medicine ball. That's £10 or £20 on Amazon. You could use a bench or just a chair and do some tricep dips off the back of the chair. You could do some push-ups on the edge of the chair. Then you could hold the chair up in the air and rep out some shoulder press, watch the ceiling. You could also buy dumbbells, a barbell, kettlebells, loads of equipment that can be tucked away into a cupboard or the garage that you can just get out 2-3 times a week for a workout. You can use other bits of furniture as well, garden furniture. You can lie on the floor with your feet on the sofa for sit-ups, loads of things. As soon as you start thinking about the possibilities, you'll get loads and loads of ideas. You can also use young children. I've seen that done. Maybe you just lift up your toddler or your baby above your head and push out some shoulder press. Lie on your back, holding your baby to your chest. Extend the arms, pull them back. It's fun for the kids. It's a lovely thing to do, you know, in a family setting. Young kids also see their parents exercising, which is amazing. So loads you can do at home. Outdoor in nature, you've got loads as well. So there's trails to run on, there's tree stumps to jump off and land in deep squats. You can do pull-ups on sturdy branches if the tree's obviously robust. If you're in the park, you can use the bench for step-ups, push-ups, tricep dips. You can jump off the bench, landing into a deep squat. So there's lots of things out in nature or in man-made natural areas like parks that you can use. Don't forget the park run as well. That's in most parks now across the UK. It's a 5-kilometer run, entirely free to sign up for, full of people. My local park run in South London is, I don't know, maybe 200-300 people of all different ages, genders. There's mums and dads running with buggies. It's absolutely fantastic. So I'll link to it in the show notes, but take a look at park run. And if you enjoy classes, there's a study that was run by or conducted by Virgin Active that looked at 1,000 women, and it discovered that 64% of them predominantly run or go to gym or classes with friends because they find that they're pushed harder if they do it with friends than if they do it alone. So if you're one of those people that gets a kick and feels motivated by exercising with someone else, maybe classes are best for you, or exercising in a buddy pair. That same study found that 31% consider their friends to be their main motivation. So over two-thirds find themselves motivated by the presence of friends, and about one-third consider friends to be their main motivation. So that's quite interesting. There's loads of classes available, and if that's the way you enjoy exercise, and sometimes that accountability of see you next week in class and can encourage you just to make sure you get there. And of course, if you like the buzz of the gym, that's amazing as well. If you want to lift heavier stuff, if you want the loud music, if you like the social element of a gym, if you want access to the latest equipment, then that's the place to go. And of course, machines, as well as free weights, as well as running machines, rowing machines, and cardiovascular machines. So if that's your thing, then the gym is the best place to go. So we've talked about time, and hopefully we've kind of pushed that away as a barrier. Talked about lack of knowledge, and hopefully I've given you some insights and removed some of that unsureness around that. And the other thing's motivation and purpose. And obviously this one's the key, because you can have the time, you can have the knowledge, but if there's no motivation, no sense of purpose, then that obviously is going to be problematic. It's going to scupper the other two. We've all seen people, I'm sure, in gyms chatting for ages in between sets, doing a lot of talking rather than walking, wandering around, looking at machines and not actually doing much, sitting on the exercise bike, reading a book. You know, we've all seen that kind of thing, and I'm pretty sure that if we're honest, we've all used excuses from time to time about why we can't or won't exercise at the moment. And we've heard lots of excuses from other people as well about why they're in between gyms, or they haven't got round to something because they've got a niggle, or they didn't have time, or their spouse didn't come home in time for them to go out. We've all heard it, we've all been there, right? The thing with motivation and purpose is to be absolutely focused, laser focused on your why. Why is it that you're going to the gym? Why is it that you have this fitness goal? And when you're really focused on that, it becomes much easier to maintain your motivation. And one of the tricks for this is just to be really present when you're exercising. So I know why I'm here. I'm here because I've had the warning about type 2 diabetes. Or I'm here because I've got a big event coming up in 6 weeks' time and I want to be ready for it. Or I'm here because I don't feel good about myself. I've gained a lot of weight. My self-esteem is very low. Whatever your reason, whatever your why, and I'd urge you to think strongly about it and question it as well as to whether it's your real reason for exercising. You've got to be focused on that. And then when you're doing it, when you're doing the exercise, when you're in the gym, be present. No reading, no chatting, unless you want to, unless it's motivational for you. But to make sure you're not losing the value of the exercise with the social element. Make sure you're dovetailing the two in such a way that you're getting value from both of them. When you actually go in and you're present while you're doing this exercise, so you're thinking about the muscles that you're working and why you're doing that, you'll get a lot more enjoyment and value from the exercise. You'll make sure you're engaging the right bits of the body as well. We have a questionnaire on the website, www.bodyshopperformance.com/7secrets. I'll link to it in the show notes. On that webpage, we ask three powerful questions. And we send that to people before we engage with them on coaching programs. Those questions are, what is your intent? Why do you want it? And why do you want it now? And based on those answers, we are able to pretty much predict who's going to be successful and who isn't. Therefore, who should we work with and who isn't quite ready for us yet? It's very difficult to answer those questions in a way that's compelling and convincing to both the person who's written the answers and me, if there isn't a really strong sense of intent. So have a think about that. Either jump on the website and answer the questions or just write them down on a piece of paper. What is my intent? Why do I want it? Why do I want it now? And you'll find that that will help you to get the motivation and purpose you need. It'll help you to carve out the time needed to do it. And it'll help you if you need to get more knowledge, it'll incentivize you to do that. So that's that laser sharp focus and that being present during the exercise and focusing on your intent will solve motivation problems. And when it comes to time as well, if you find that your normal workout's 45 minutes, but today you've only got 25, then cut down the amount you do. Don't just not go, cut down the amount you do, but be doubly focused on what you're doing so you get loads of benefit from it. The other element to this is intersections. So intersecting the gym or the exercise session with something else you enjoy, and that can help boost the motivation, increase the amount of pleasure you're getting from it. So an example of that is if you love listening to podcasts, which I'm guessing you do because you're listening to this one, put your headphones on next time you're in the gym, listen to a podcast while you're working out. Not so that it distracts you, but then you're getting two things done. If you're finding what you're doing is a little bit stale, you've freshened it up and you still can't get your mojo back, maybe you put a pair of headphones on and now you're listening to content as well as doing the workout, and suddenly the enjoyment's doubled. It's intersecting those things. It could be intersecting your run by taking the dog with you, or your kids, or your buddy, or your partner. So then you're getting a little bit of time together as well as doing the run. Maybe it's about going for that run and being a bit more present, looking around, listening to the bird song, seeing the squirrels running around, getting a bit of enjoyment from being with nature. So you're intersecting that interest and that pleasure with the exercise you're doing. I mean, it might be listening to music, anything. Think about the other things that you get pleasure from and see if you can intersect that with the exercise just to double down on that motivation. So that's it for this week's show. As ever, if you've got questions, please send them to Leanne, L-E-A-N-N-E, at bodyshopperformance.com. We love to get your questions, and at some point we're going to be doing a Q&A show so we can answer your question on one of the shows that's coming up. Visit the website, www.bodyshopperformance.com, and on the homepage you'll see What's Your Health IQ? Take Our Test. Jump on there, answer those 24 questions, and it'll give you a score at the end which will indicate which areas of the six signals, as we call them, you need to work on. And those signals are sleep, mental health, energy, body composition, digestion, and fitness. So that's all for this week. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.